In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Can you feel it, brothers and sisters? I talked about it last week. I can feel Great Lent coming on. Now we have the Lenten Triodion that we're starting to use. Last week was sort of the unofficial beginning with Sunday of Zacchaeus, and today is the official beginning, where we read from the Triodion for much of the service last night, and where we read about the publican and the Pharisee. This story, this parable, illustrates something really remarkable. There's an external meaning that's pretty easy to grasp, and then there is a deep spiritual meaning for the deep heart that the scripture speaks about for us to attempt to understand. Now, the external meaning, the easy to grasp meaning, is that the Pharisee was clearly full of pride and judged others, specifically the publican. Anybody can see that from the text. Anybody can tell from the text that that was a sin. And the publican was humble and prayed with humility. And so this parable contrasts the two and shows that the Pharisee prayed with pride and with judgment, and he was not justified, but the publican, who was prayed with humility, was justified. That's the easy external meaning, and it's an important one. If we don't have humility, we have nothing. The Lord told us, without me, you can do nothing. The saints really understood that and believed that. They lived that. It wasn't something they had to convince themselves of. It was absolutely true to them. As true as that they need to breathe air. So it's an important teaching, especially for those who don't understand yet the mystical teaching. This teaching will get you to the mystical teaching, but it won't get you all the way. Here's what will get you all the way. The publican would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but he smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He prayed with this great sense of his own unworthiness. Now, most of us don't have a great sense of our own unworthiness, and that's why our prayers are very poor. The publican was full of sin, but that was immaterial to God because of his humility. And he prayed with a great sense of unworthiness, a great sense of fear. He wouldn't even look up to heaven. It was not a comfortable prayer for him. Now, contrast that to our day now, when outside of the Orthodox Church, every prayer has to be a comfortable prayer. Every prayer has to be a basically, I love you, Jesus prayer. That's not how we pray. We pray recognizing our sins, not looking up to heaven. But then something wondrous happens. And this is the deep spiritual meaning of this parable, that you can only learn by praying in the way the publican prays, over and over again. And the deep spiritual meaning is that the publican, who prayed in a way that was not comfortable, a way in which there was sadness in him, fear, trepidation, great feeling of unworthiness, he was justified. The Matins canon has some things that speak about it. This is a great mystery, really. This is how we pray, or how we should pray. It's good for you to learn your morning prayers and your evening prayers, and you should say them. But a lot of times, at least in my experience, especially when we prayed with our children, they're just rattled off. That's not really prayer. That's learning to pray. But that's not prayer. Prayer is beating your breast and saying, God, be merciful. And having a sense of unworthiness in your heart, but also a sense of confidence that God will hear you. I would say the best example for you to see with your eyes would be the movie that many of us have seen, Ostrog, The Island. It's really very realistic about what Russian monasticism is like, what a fool for Christ is like. The hero character, I don't remember his name. It might have been Anatoly. Does anybody remember his name? What was his name? It was... No, it wasn't Peter. Oh, no, no, yeah, the actor. But what was his character's name? Anatoly? It was an A. I don't remember. But anyway, we'll say the... I don't remember his name. But I remember what he did. He had a sense, he had thought that he'd murdered a man. So he felt very unworthy. And in his living, feeling unworthy, he developed great sanctity. But he didn't think he was sanctified. And yet, there's a time when a mother brings a child who is crippled, who's gone to every doctor there is, had no help. The mother's at her wit's end. That he goes away a little bit from them to pray with absolute certainty that the Lord will hear his prayer. At the same time, absolute certainty that he's an unworthy worm asking the Lord for a favor. That's Orthodox prayer. That's what we must attain. Most of us are too full of ourselves. I'd probably say every one of us. Remember, I say that sermons are autobiographical. So, I'm full of myself. And the fullness of myself keeps out God, so that my prayer does not rise very high the vast majority of the time. We must develop this humility in our prayer. I don't know how it happens, but then again, we don't know how the Holy Spirit works, right? The Lord said that the wind blows where it wills, so it is with the Spirit. He also talked about a seed which put in the ground, and then it grows. Day and night, he knows not how, and yet it grows. This is how we develop humility in our prayer. Not a sense of self-satisfaction in our prayer. That we're somehow attained something. So let me read you a couple things from the Matins Canon that sort of illustrate this very deep theological point. It's hard to understand. It's maybe you're able to understand a little bit about it. Sort of like we understand that a rocket ship has fuel that goes out and it goes up. But we don't understand the principles involved. This is a very fine spiritual principle of how to learn to pray. And I will take one side road for a moment and tell you that as a priest, when I began the priesthood, I thought that it was necessary for me, and it is necessary, but I think it was more of a primary focus to teach people the truth, you know, doctrinally the truth. And then that evolved into how to live. And really, it's all taken care of by knowing how to pray. That's number one. So as a pastor, all I care about for you is that you learn to pray. If you learn to pray, God will enlighten you. Not prayer just from a prayer book, but prayer from the heart. Now, the prayer from the prayer book is good and should be done, but the prayer from the heart is this prayer of the publican, this prayer of deep humility, this prayer of a feeling of deep unworthiness and yet confidence. The humble are confident. The proud are not confident. Did you know that? A proud man, when he is in a situation that is above, beyond his ken, he's not confident at all. Because he only depends upon himself. And there's something inside himself, even if he won't admit it, that realizes that this is too big for him. But a humble man is always confident because God is always near. We see this in children. Now, you can argue that children are not all that humble in certain ways, right? When there's one more piece of cake, they're not humble at all. When they're in trouble and they blame the other person, they're not humble at all. But they have this deep humility that when there's something that scares them, they go to their mommy and daddy. They're not scared at all. So the humble man has a deep expectation, not just expectation, a deep certainty that the Lord will help him. So let me give you a few of these things from the Matins Canon. These are all from the Matins Canon. The Pharisee was exalted in his righteousness, and so he fell. The publican was abased, defiled by many sins, yet he was exalted, and against all expectation, he was justified. Every time I read that, I'm very happy. Because this is describing what's happening in us. If we're humble and we don't expect the Lord to help us, so he will help us. But also, if we're humble, I put that the wrong way, excuse me. If we're humble, we expect the Lord to help us, but we feel we don't deserve him to help us. Like the prodigal son we'll read about next week. He actually didn't expect the Lord to help him at all, but he did. A step further in humility is to feel completely unworthy and yet completely confident that the Lord will help. So this against all expectation is sort of a beginning of the process of being completely filled with God, of theosis. The humble man always retains his knowledge that he's not a good person. Because compared to God, we're not good. God is all light, and we have darkness in us, even the most holy. But the humble man also recognizes God will always help him. So this against all expectation is a beginning of the process. Let me tell you a little bit about the more towards the end of the process that we should be trying to obtain. This is, as your pastor, I want you to obtain. I want you to know about the dogma of the Trinity. But more than that, I want you to live according to the Trinity. And for that, you need to learn to pray. The Pharisee, exalted by the works of justification, was grievously ensnared in the nets of vainglory through his wild boasting. But the publican was lifted on the light wing of humility, and he drew near to God. So here we see that external teaching. You should not boast, you should not judge. But what happens when you don't boast and judge? When you're humble, you're lifted up with that light wing of humility and draw near to God. That's what happens when we pray with humility. Now, if you don't know how to do this, don't fret. We don't know how to do anything. Anything that's good comes from God. So there's no excuses here. You can say, oh, I have no idea what Father Seraphim is talking about. You don't have an excuse to say that. You got to try. That's what the Jesus prayer is especially for. And that, of course, God be merciful to me, a sinner, is very similar to the Jesus prayer. Pray this with effort. And then God will show you things in your life where you're not being a very good person. Some things you're going to have to give up. Some things you're going to have to start doing that you don't want to be doing. Some people you're going to have to forgive. Hard stuff. But all that stuff hinders your prayer. And God will make you aware of it if you try to pray with humility. And then the wonderful irony is that as you become more humble, you pray with more humility, you pray with more feeling of unworthiness, and God reacts more to your prayer and brings you more into his presence. It's something only God can understand, but we can experience. Another one of the things from the Matins canon is the publican used humility as a ladder and was raised to the height of heaven, but the wretched Pharisee was lifted up on the rotten emptiness of pride and fell into the snare of hell. When I read that, and I've read this many times, I always think of a ladder that is rotten. You ever gone up on a rotten ladder and been like 15 feet up and one of the rungs is broken? It's happened to me. And if two or three more rungs had broken, I would have fallen. That's what pride is. Pride is a rotten ladder. You must learn to be humble. Now, if you tell a proud man to be humble, what happens? He thinks you're stupid, or he doesn't understand you at all. Now, we are proud people. So you can't just go to yourself and sit in a corner and say, be humble now. You have to exercise. You have to start praying this prayer of Jesus with effort. You have to budget time in your day to say, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. If you want to say the longer form, Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. There's even a longer form if you want to use that. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I've used them all. I've gotten to the point of just saying, Lord Jesus Christ, or even Lord Jesus, have mercy. Because it seems like it's intellectually less challenging, because there's less words, there's less thinking, there's just more praying. But whatever works for you is fine. But learn to say this prayer. And when you say the prayer and you think, I don't feel very humble, say it anyway. And the next day you say it and you don't feel very humble. In fact, in the middle of the prayer, you're thinking about that person that really, really bugs you. Say it anyway. And when it seems boring, say it anyway. And when you fall asleep, say it anyway. And you'll gradually learn to be humble. Now, other stuff will be happening as you're praying, because God will be saying to you, you see that person? You don't treat them right. You see the way you act? That's wrong. And you're going to have to change those things. Some of them will be easy to change and some of them will be really, really hard. But it will be a process. And then you will understand what is being taught here in this parable of the publican and the Pharisee. As I said before, it's not just about being humble and not judging others. It is about how we approach God. Now, I think all of you have things in your life that you really want. Things that really grieve you. Loved ones that aren't doing so well. Usually it's that sort of thing. Really, if you're grieved because you don't have a good job, okay, get a better job if you can. But the things that really should grieve us is our loved ones. And you don't really see a way for them to change. You've done everything you can, and it hasn't quite gotten better. Or maybe it gets a little better, and then worse, and then better, and then worse. So you got a good motivation to pray with the deep humility of the publican and go, come away justified. And this is how you do it. You just go and pray in your closet with your prayer rope, or without it if you want, and pray the prayer, the words of the prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. And then keep your eyes open, because the Lord is going to show you stuff and you're going to have to react to it, and you're going to have to change, and you're going to see that there are things that impair your prayer. the way you interact with others, the way you think about yourself, the way you treat others, the things you say, the values you have, the way you spend your time, the things that you think are important. All that will come up, and you're going to have to make some changes. Now, we could certainly talk about stuff we're supposed to do in an academic way, but the heart needs to understand it. The heart needs to have that light wing of humility that makes it draw near to God. And when we draw near to God, then all things become clear. Nobody can preach to you how to be good. The Lord teaches you how to be good. And we need to learn to pray as the publican so that we can become good. It's really a marvelous thing. To me, this is the gospel, the good news. When a man changes, when your heart comes near to God, that's the gospel. This is more exciting to me than reading about the resurrection. The resurrection, of course, was the event that made this possible. But the application of the resurrection is that a man can pray looking down, beating his breast, and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and come away justified. That is truly the gospel. I never get tired of reading about that. I hope you don't either. I'll tell you one more thing from the Matins Gospel, which is basically what I've tried to set forth, or tried to tell you that this parable is. Christ has set before us the abasement of the publican as a path to exaltation and a pattern how we may be saved. Let us follow his example, rejecting disdainful pride and gaining God's mercy. Sometimes I don't tell the truth. I'll read you one more. Because this one I highlighted because this is also the gospel. A publican once went into a temple with faith and prayed to God, and he was justified. For he drew near with tears and cries of sorrow and contrition of heart, and obtaining mercy, he laid aside the whole burden of his sins. Would you like to do that? Would you like to be unburdened by your sins? Would you like to lay it aside? Not be hindered by it? Would you like to think differently? Act differently? Would you like to be a different person? This is how to do it. This is how to lay aside the burden of our sins. And this is good news. Let's learn how to pray with humility like the publican. God bless you.